Luke 18, and we'll read from verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he went away very sad, because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We've left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." This is God's word. Imagine with me that we went down the road to the shops outside the library, and we asked people, "How do you get eternal life? How do you get eternal life?" What sort of answers do you think we'd get? I guess there'd be the inevitable, "There's no such thing." Perhaps a few people would say, "Well, everyone gets it." Some might say, "You've got to be good." Some might mention the Ten Commandments. We probably would hear all sorts of other things too. I wonder if someone flipped the question around and asked us, what would we say? How do we think we get eternal life? Just to be clear what we're talking about, we're not talking about simply how do we get to heaven when we die. We're talking about much more than that. Eternal life, life in relationship with the God who made us forever. Fullness of life available now that goes on for all eternity. Or to put it another way, through Luke's gospel, Jesus often talks about entering the kingdom of God. Same idea, life in all its fullness under the rule of the best king ever, available now with the assurance of it continuing forever into eternity. Eternity in the kingdom of God with no more pandemics, no more sickness, goodness, and life with God forever. How do we get that? How do we get that? Well, it's the question of our man in verse 18. He comes to Jesus, he asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in three brief comments, Jesus gives his answer. As he interacts with the ruler himself, as he brings up camels and needles, as he chats with Peter, Jesus reveals, if we want eternal life, if we want to enter the kingdom of God, there is only one way: to rely on Jesus alone. So how can you get eternal life? Rely on Jesus alone. So Jesus and the ruler, let's have a look at them together. He's got power, he's wealthy, but there's a problem. The rich ruler, he won't rely on Jesus alone. He comes to Jesus with that question in verse 18, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Maybe he's heard about Jesus. He's heard about his healings, his miracles. Maybe he's heard that he's offering people entry into the kingdom of God, and he wants in. And you can't blame him, can you? Eternal life. Sounds like a good option. So he comes and he asks, Jesus, how do I get eternal life? Tell me what to do. Now, it's possible that he's asking in a kind of transactional way. Jesus, I want that. Tell me what to do to get it. How do I earn it? What can I do? But I think it's more likely that he's just really genuine. He just really wants to know. Jesus, how? How do I get that? How do I get eternal life? Either way, Jesus' answer is revealing of this man's heart. Verse 19. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Now, if it was me and somebody asked, how do you get eternal life? I would not start there. But Jesus knows better than me, and he knows this man better than me. He is the best pastor in the world. And so he asks him this question. Here are the commandments we've been thinking about over the last few weeks, 10 commandments. What do you notice in verse 20 about the list of commandments that Jesus gives and these ones? I guess most obviously there's less. But if you look a bit closer, I wonder if you spotted, Jesus mentions all the ones that are kind of external, kind of on the outside, the ones that you can that do, and people will think, wow, you're a really nice person. You can do all the ones that Jesus mentions and look like a great member of society. And verse 21, the rich man, having heard what Jesus says, replies, all these I've kept since I was a boy. I don't think we've any reason to disbelieve that he's done these things. Jesus doesn't push back and question him and say, no, you haven't. He's probably just a really, really good bloke. Maybe you can picture him. Maybe he's like you. Maybe he's like your neighbour. He's respectable. He's law-abiding. Very friendly. Perhaps he goes to church. He's faithful and kind. He really loves his wife and kids. He works at a school down the road. He gives to charity. Rings his mum and dad every now and then. He's probably a better man than me and most of us. At least that's how it looks on the outside. But, and it is a very big but, look how Jesus replies to him. Verse 22. You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Sell everything you have. Oh, ouch. Oh, really? But if the rich man really wants eternal life, he'll do it, won't he? But he doesn't. Verse 23. When he heard this, he became very sad. Why? Because he was very wealthy. The point is, Jesus doesn't want just good blokes. He's not after moral men and women who just keep the rules. The key issue for Jesus is at the end of verse 22. Not so much that the man needs to give up his money. End of verse 22, the key issue for Jesus, come. Follow me. That's what Jesus really, really wants for him. That's the answer to the question of how do I get eternal life? You see, how do I get eternal life is answered as you follow Jesus. And eternal life, here's my bow. So I'm sorry it's so poorly wrapped. Eternal life is a gift that you get when you follow Jesus. But the rich man, he won't do it. He can't do it because his hands are full of money. He won't put down his precious money god that he worships. He's put his faith in money, and he cannot worship Jesus too. He can't follow Jesus if he won't put down his money. You see, Jesus' answer to the man, it gets under his skin and it reveals that the rich man loves money more than he loves God. He might look like a really good bloke, but above anything else, this is his God. See, when it comes to eternal life, the rich man's problem is a first commandment problem. He worships money and he doesn't worship God. He carries around this little god instead of putting it down and following Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't saying to all of us, we all have to go away today, empty out our bank accounts. In fact, we could do it on our apps now, couldn't we? He's not saying that. But he is saying that we have to be willing to put down our money and take up Jesus and follow him if we want eternal life. The only way to get eternal life is to rely on Jesus alone, to follow him. So Jesus challenges the condition of the man's heart. He loves money more than God. I wonder how each of us would respond to the same challenge if it came our way. If you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus here this morning, imagine if Jesus was having this conversation with you. What would he put his finger on in your life and say, friend, put that down and come, follow me? Perhaps it would be love of money, like the rich ruler. Perhaps it would be love of career or something else entirely. Only you and God know. But hear Jesus this morning. Some people won't get into the kingdom of God because they love something else more than they love God. Now, if we're following Jesus, we have put down the money box and taken up Jesus. We've followed him. That is a wonderful thing. But I wonder if there are things that tempt us to put Jesus down and take it up instead. Maybe our career is really important to us. Maybe we do love money. I wonder what we need to be aware of. And as we go through our Ten Commandments series in Exodus, I think we need to be reminding each other. Our primary aim, as we specially think about these commandments that are external, our primary aim isn't to be good members of society. That will come second as we, first and foremost, follow Jesus and worship the Lord. The rich ruler, he won't rely on Jesus alone. He won't receive the kingdom. He won't get in. But Jesus doesn't stop there. If we want to be sure of eternal life, we need to have clear in our minds, only Jesus can get a camel through the eye of a needle. That might sound a bit odd, but bear with me for a minute. Have a look at verse 24. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, we could overcomplicate this question, but I think it's quite simple. Does a camel fit through the eye of a needle? I think we're there, but I just want us to be really clear, really clear. I raided the sewing kit. I found the largest needle I could. Here we are. Now, sure, in the first century, I imagine needles were probably a little bit bigger, maybe. They had a slightly bigger hole, but not much. Let's go with this. Can't help get the camel in, but the best I could do... this is the best I could do. This is like the smallest I could find. What do you think? Sure? It's a straightforward point, isn't it? This camel will not fit through this needle. Some people have tried to explain this verse different ways. They've said things like, There's perhaps a gate in Jerusalem, and it's called Needle Gate. And when you get to Jerusalem, you have to stop your camel, take all the bags off it, get it to kind of kneel down and squeeze it through really carefully, and then you're through, and then you're in. And no, apart from the fact that my limited research exposed no such thing as Needle Gate in Jerusalem, the point is really clear that Jesus is making. Camels, even tiny ones, I don't even know if you can see it. Have I even got one at the back? Am I just holding air? Camels do not go through needles. And it's quite funny until you realize he's talking about people like us. Rich people, people with any kind of wealth, people in Britain in the 21st century, don't go through eyes of needles, don't go into the kingdom. It's not just take some things away and squeeze in, it is impossible. Now, it might be that you're not wealthy at all, but if you take the wealth away from the camel, it's still a camel. It still doesn't fit through the eye of the needle. Jesus' point, it is impossible for people like us to get into the kingdom on our own. There is nothing we can do. And the people in the passage, they get that that's what Jesus is saying. Verse 26. They've seen all this play out. They've seen the rich man walk away sad. They've heard what Jesus has said about camels and needles. And they say, verse 26, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And the whole point of Jesus using the camel and the needle is to persuade us that we cannot get into the kingdom on our own. Instinctively, if it was left to us, we'd all be like the rich man. We'd walk on with our money. We wouldn't follow Jesus. We need a camel through the eye of a needle miracle to save us. But verse 27, this is huge. Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. With God, a camel can go through the eye of a needle. With God, rich and poor alike can get into the kingdom. With God, anyone can be saved. And what is impossible with man is possible with God because of what Jesus says will happen in the next little passage. Just look ahead if you've got it open, to verse 31 to 34. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we're going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They'll flog him and kill him. On the third day, he'll rise again. Jesus' death and resurrection is the way that rich people, poor people, any person can get into the kingdom. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the only way. So along with the rich man and with the crowd, together we need to see only Jesus can get a camel through the eye of a needle. Only Jesus can save us. Jesus wants us knowing deeply we are hopeless and helpless without him. Because when we see that, we'll cry for mercy. Just glance your eyes, if you've got it open, at verses 15 to 17. People were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. When it comes to inheriting eternal life, me and the rich man, me and all of you, we're like camels trying to get through eyes of needles. We don't stand a chance. Jesus is our only hope. I know this is sometimes awkward, but just look around. Eyeball the people that you can see around you. I'm not suggesting we do this, but I'm not suggesting we go around calling each other camels. Some people might think that's rude. But if we are following Jesus, if you are following Jesus, you are a camel who God has got through the eye of a needle. You know that thing that we just said was impossible to do? God has done that with you if you're following Jesus. Only Jesus can get a camel through the eye of a needle. Only Jesus can get people like us into eternal life. Now, if the rich man was a negative example of somebody who was unwilling to rely on Jesus, our final little interaction between Jesus and Peter is a positive example. And like Peter, if we rely on Jesus, we can be sure of eternal blessing. I wonder if you can sense the worry in Peter's voice in verse 28. He's seen all this play out. We've left all we had to follow you. He sees the respectable rich ruler sad. Jesus says that it's impossible for people to get into the kingdom. And Peter's thinking, but Lord, we've done what you said to do. We've left our nets and our families. We've done the right thing, haven't we? Did we get through the eye of a needle? Is eternal life ours? They really have left everything to follow Jesus. They really are relying on Jesus alone. And look how Jesus comforts and reassures his dear friend Peter. Verse 29, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. What a promise to people who have given up everything to follow him. If you are following Jesus, you are a camel through the eye of a needle miracle like Peter. And you can be sure that whatever it has cost you to follow Jesus, and whatever it might cost you in the future, Jesus promises you more blessing than you might lose. Not in some kind of prosperity gospel sense. Jesus isn't saying if you give £100 to the church, you'll get 200. But if following Jesus means your family reject you, you're welcomed into God's family. And every part of the country that you go to, where you walk into a church, you should be welcomed as part of God's family. Millions of brothers and sisters across the world, yours. Millions of spiritual children and spiritual parents, yours. Millions of homes that you should be welcomed into, yours. And that's just here and now. Let alone life with our eternal Heavenly Father in a new creation where we'll have endless homes to knock on the door and say, hey, can I come in for a tea? Yeah, of course, brother. In you come. Do you want stew too? What a picture, what a promise. I was hearing from a friend the other day about a man who he knew who had become a Christian and had been disowned by his family and had to flee his country. Wonderfully, he got asylum in the UK and is now part of my friend's church in London, where he's been welcomed. And of course, he's sad often about all he's lost. But he says that he now has those brothers and sisters that he's lost here. And he's been welcomed into a new family here in London. And that's just one example. But whatever we forsake or forfeit for following Jesus, he promises us it will be worth it. Now and in eternity. So if someone asks on the street, or your neighbor, whoever it is. Maybe we should do this. We could try it. Oh, did I just volunteer for that? Maybe we should try this. And if someone asks, how can I get eternal life? Hopefully we're that little bit clearer. And we feel that little bit more deeply. The only way is to rely on Jesus alone. So cry out to him, if you haven't before. Cry out to Jesus like the tax collector back in verse 13. Come with nothing in your hands like the little children in verses 17 and 18. Call to Jesus like the blind beggar in verse 38 and 39. Receive Jesus. Rely on him alone. We need to do that every day. We need to do that as we go through our series in the Ten Commandments. We need to do that when we're doing really well spiritually. Rely on Jesus still, every day. We need to do it when we're struggling. When our days are full of sin, we need to rely on Jesus. Come to him with empty hands. Cry for mercy. As we share communion shortly, let's take it as an opportunity to remember again. It's Jesus. By his death and his resurrection, that means we can enter the kingdom of God. That means eternal life is ours. All because of him. He is the one who gets camels through eyes of needles. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Please keep us from trusting in ourselves or in anything other than him for eternal life. We're sorry when we think we can earn it or we deserve it. Help us today as a family, please, to rejoice in the amazing power of our great God to get camels like us through eyes of needles and into the kingdom. Amen.